This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
My name is Tara Smith, and I'm interviewing Dolores Rodriguez in Harlem on Saturday 25th. Did you give me permission to record this oral history?
Yes.
Your age?
75.
Race identity?
I guess Latino. I'm Dominican, but, you know.
Where are you from?
Dominican Republic.
All right. Why did you leave your country of origin?
I had nothing in the matter. I was underage. And my father decided that he wanted to immigrate to the United States, and he wanted to send me first. And I came to live with my sister. I applied for a visa. And
why did you decide to come to the United States instead of another country?
I did not decide to come. I didn't want to go anywhere. I was happy, I was going to school and everything, but my father decided that I should be coming here because he didn't want to get me into trouble. I was a troublemaker in school. And in those days, the United States had invaded Dominican Republic. And my father thought it was better for me to be here with my sister.
Okay. What do you miss about your country?
I guess the people. I mean, it's been such a long time that I really, you know, don't miss much. I've been here, let's see, I came in 55 years. So it's like all my life, you know, I've been here all my life, practically. So I miss the people, and I have family and cousins and, you know, friends, longtime friends in Dominican Republic, but that's it. I'm a person who gets accustomed. I live in the present. I never look back. Mm-hmm. I try to live in the present, and I don't go back to, you know, say, oh, I missed this. I never did. That's my nature.
So
I get involved. I get too involved with the present to, you know.
So what don't you miss about the Dominican Republic?
Oh, well, it's a developing country. I grew up in a farm and with no electricity, no water. But then by the time I emigrated, I was in one of the cities. But I can't say I don't miss anything or I miss anything. It's just that kind of thing.
Do you remember what your friends and your family said when you were leaving?
Not really. It's a long time ago. You're asking a 75-year-old.
Well, what were your expectations of the United States?
Well, it was a developed country, and it was so much different. I didn't have any expectations because I didn't know how it was until I, you know, actually came here. And I was too involved with my studies and, you know, politics and all over there. So it wasn't like I was wanting to come here or, you know, it wasn't like that. I was forced practically to come here by my father. And so I didn't have any expectations per se, you know.
So
it is what it is, you know.
True. So when you came to, like, New York, did it go according to plan?
I didn't have any plans. So it was like a developing story, you know.
Right, as it goes.
I didn't have any plans. I had to work. From when I came in, I didn't know any English, or, you know, I had to work in factories and stuff like that. So it wasn't like I had a plan. I didn't plan to come here. So and I live life like that. I don't have any, you know.
Plans. What was the date when you came to New York?
It was October. I don't remember the exact date, but it was October 1965. I think it was October 25th. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. 65.
So how did, like, New York specifically, like, was New York like your, it filled your expectations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, New York was, and in those days, I think it was better than what it is now. Now it's too crowded. And by the time I left New York, it was too crowded. But to me, it was like, you know, amazing. I mean, don't forget, I come from a not developed country, you know. It was fascinating, you know. It was different. It was something marvelous, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't know any English then, and it was a task to learn English, and I got involved with daily living.
Okay. Were you received positively when you arrived to your neighborhood? Like, were the people around, like, kind to you?
Oh, yeah, because in those days, most Dominicans lived in the neighborhood. So it was like a Dominican neighborhood in those days. I don't know now, in those days, it was Washington Heights, 162nd Street. Most of the, my neighbors, my sister's neighbors were Dominicans. And, you know, it was a Dominican foothold in New York in those days. So, and it was nice, yeah. I had no complaints.
How did you adjust to the new language and culture of New York?
Well, like I said, first I had to go to work in a factory, and I used to study English at night, and then I went to I used to study by mail and whatever. Finally, after 2-3 years, I was able to get a better job, you know, get out of the factories. And my first job was with Empire Mutual Insurance Company. And I had no, you know, it was hard because English, for a Latin person or a person that speaks Spanish, English is hard, you know, especially the pronunciation. Yeah. And I was able to I mean, I was young in those days, so You could learn. You learn easy when you easier than when you get older, you know.
So you would say those jobs were the opportunities you were available to you when you came to New York?
Huh?
Those jobs, your jobs were the opportunities that were available when you came to New York, you would say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to work. There was no question about it. And then my parents came the next year in March. And then I moved back with them, but I was still working, you know. Yeah.
Were any opportunities denied to you because you came fresh from DR?
Not that I remember. No, like I said, I had to I had to work in a factory and factories and stuff like that, but. I don't think I didn't find anything. If anything, what's difficult was learning the language. But I don't think I was denied any opportunities.
Okay.
No.
What did the assimilation project look like for you? Assimilation.
Assimilation.
Yeah.
Well, you're not really. I don't know what it's meant by assimilate. I mean, I guess you have to. I don't know. I really don't understand the question because it's.
Yeah, me either. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
What in your life keeps you connected to DR?
My family, I got cousins and stuff like that, and now my brother, my oldest brother, moved back with his wife because his children, most of his children are there, and he wants to be with his nietos, you know,
yeah.
Grandchildren, yeah, he wants to be with his grandchildren and see them grow and whatever. So, you know, I'm still connected, and I still got, you know, cousins and besides my brother, you know.
How do you remain connected to the people that still live in DR?
Usually over the phone or, what do you call that, WhatsApp and whatever, you know, but mostly the phone, I would say.
was it easy to navigate your bilingual life?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say it was hard. It was interesting. I mean, it is hard to learn the language, but you know. It was something that I wanted to do, you know.
Okay.
So when you want something, huh?
Oh, where have you lived in New York and why?
Let's see. I first came to 162nd Street, then I moved to 177th with my parents. Then when they left for the Dominican Republic, I think it was 1979 or something like that. No, I forgot the year. They went back to the Dominican Republic, and then I moved to Queens. I forgot the name of the it's close to the city. It's the neighborhood, but I at the moment I don't remember the name of the neighborhood. And then from there, I moved to Forest Hills and back to New York. Then when I got married, I was married for like about 10 years. I went back to the Lower East Side. We had an apartment there. And Then when I divorced, then we went back to, I went back to Queens. I was in Forest Hills again. And that's when, you know, that's where I moved from, you know, from Queens, moved to Florida.
What was the hardest part about your move to New York?
Oh, I guess I didn't want to come at the time.
So it comes back to that.
Yes. I wasn't really enthused about it, but, you know, it was, I had to do it. And, you know, I don't regret anything. No. Actually, you know, it's been a blessing because I think this country is, you know, it's more attuned to my ideas and stuff like that. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
What's the next?
What was your favorite part about living in New York?
Oh, living in New York, imagine you go so many places. I used to go not only to the movies, but I used to go to Lincoln Center and the Opera House and everywhere. You know, there's a lot of activities that you could do in New York. If you have the money, I guess you could.
Yeah, you need money. Live in New York.
Yeah, it takes money. Yeah.
How was your neighborhood changed since your arrival?
My neighborhood?
Yeah. So, did you feel like the neighborhood, like, changed when you first arrived to it? I'm guessing that's what the question is asking.
Oh well, no, I don't remember. I hardly remember any details. But I suppose it changed. I don't know.
Yeah, most likely. It's been years. I say, yeah, most likely it's probably changed.
You mean from now?
Yeah,
from now. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, I understand now that Washington Heights has been, you know, what do you call that? Gentrified.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So
I guess it has changed, but I don't know. I haven't been there in a while.
Has your thoughts about, like, your United States changed over time, or have they stayed the same?
No, I love this country. You know, this is, you know, where I spend all my life. So it's not perfect. Nothing is perfect in this life, but, you know, it's changed a lot because. Don't forget, they invaded Dominican Republic, so I was against the Yankees for a long time, you know. And then I was forced to come here, but it wasn't that I wanted. But I have to see things to judge them. I mean, I can't say that. You know, it was a bad experience coming here or anything like that. You know, your feelings evolve. So I guess I when I was younger, back in the DR, I was against this country, but not anymore. I mean, this is my country. I became a citizen and everything. So no, of course they have evolved.
That is true. Was there anything you feared when you first came here to the United States, like because you were like considered like an immigrant?
No, in those days there wasn't that divisiveness that you know that people are making it now, like, oh, you this, and you know, all that. the racism. I wasn't thinking about those things in those days, and maybe that's why I didn't experience, except one time in New York in the train. But I wasn't in those days. You didn't think in those terms, you know. You wanted today that I don't know. Today there's too much baloney coming out of, you know, and because I don't know. It's an agenda, I think. I don't know.
Okay, what would you change about the current USA immigration system?
Well, I tell you, I definitely don't agree with giving everything to illegal immigrants, because I was legal. I came legally. I went through a lot to be able, not that I wanted to, because But I was forced to, and so I don't agree with giving illegals all of, you know, everything. No, you had to come here legally, a lot of the things is politics. Okay, a lot of the things that they say that illegally, no. No, you got to come here legally, and nothing like I don't know. I don't agree with giving I guess the children that are brought here, but then a lot of the children are brought here by not even their parents. So I don't agree with illegal immigration.
Okay.
To me, they don't tell you. They tell you, oh, immigration. No, it's illegal immigration. They don't use the because, you know, if you come here legally, you got to go through a lot. You got to go through interviews, and you know, it's not fair. And then, because I came in and I was. You know, in those days, nobody knew about welfare and this and that. Nobody thought of, everybody that came here wanted to work and make a life for themselves, you know. It wasn't like, you come in now and they give you welfare and Medicare and you know, health care. No. Then they should do away with the borders. If that's the case, they should do away with the borders. And no borders, no country. Mexico is one of the countries that have the most restrictive immigration laws. And I know for a fact, because I went one time when I went with my friend, we crossed into Mexico. Well, I was in California. We went, it was a long trip to California. But anyway, we went to I forgot the name of the city in Mexico. And then they stopped me in the Mexican border, and they say, "Oh, I needed a passport, and I needed this, and I needed a visa, and this." And then, you know, it was baloney. And then coming back into California, I wasn't. Ask for anything. I could have been, somebody coming in here illegally. I was asked. So I don't know. I'm against all that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot when it comes to that system.
Yeah.
How was the process when you became a citizen? It was hard?
No, you just had to know English, obviously, and then they interview you, and I don't remember the questions or whatever, and then, it wasn't, that I remember, it wasn't a hard process. Actually, I was, I was made a citizen. I became a citizen in 1976, which was, I 200 years after the independence? Yeah. 1976.
So how has the politics of, like, the last decade impacted your experience in the United States, being coming here firstly as an immigrant?
I don't know. Politics is politics. I don't believe, and today is, there's so much corruption in politics because that's what it is. They go there and they like 50 years in the Senate or 47 years or whatever. No, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Don't ask me about politics.
All right, we won't ask you about politics. Well, that concludes the interview.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, thank you for letting me interview you.
All right, you're welcome. I hope I was...